$1 million worth of bonding, which is reflected in the forecast, and an additional $120 million in one-time money. The one area that in bonding bill after bonding bill we so often cut because it just sits there, it's this big pot of kind of anonymous money, and that is HEPR money, the asset preservation money for the University of Minnesota and the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. And so, as you can see, we tried to hang on to every penny of that, and we have funded $22 million of HEPR. The University of Minnesota is doing major work in bioscience and biomedical research, and last year, you may recall, we funded one building for that purpose. In this bill, we fund 80% of another. That amount is $14.4 million. In addition to the HEPR money, there's some land acquisition dollars at Bemidji State and at Fond du Lac. And because there are sort of two twin campuses, and the campus in Eden Prairie was funded, we thought we'd go over and above the request and also fund Hennepin Tech, which is, by the way, also on MinSCU's request list. Isaac Walton and Anoka Hennepin are doing a joint education program, not only for that school district, but more broadly for other teachers and students. And that is the Native Prairie wetland that you see mentioned. On the next one, members, and I see Representative Solberg also, we are privileged tonight to wear these ribbons that we were given today, because today we commemorate, and I see our Vice Chair, Rita Saylor, is here also with that ribbon. We commemorate the second anniversary today of the Red Lake shooting. Those nationally have been traumatic events, and it certainly was for them and for this state. I just say that by way of, since we are now speaking of the Red Lake School on the spreadsheet. The flood control phase three in the city of Stillwater is in the governor's bill. Canisteo Mine Outflow Project, Springbrook Nature Center. We have an amendment on that in a bit. Big Bog State Recreation Area, Fort Snelling Upper Bluff. If you recall, all of those old buildings that are historic buildings and protected, but while we're figuring out how to protect them and reuse, some of them need stabilization, just literally to keep them weatherproof from the weather. Red River Basin Digital Elevation Model. We started with a request for flood hazard mitigation dollars from the city of Roseau, and just as we were, in fact, putting this bill together, the flood in Browns Valley happened. And so we included that community as well, and the governor then sent us a letter asking us also to look at some intentional work in flood hazard mitigation for them.
Representative Houseman, we now have a quorum, so I think what we'll do is take care of a little business, and then you can continue with the presentation. Members, we have the approval of the minutes for March 19th. Representative Murphy, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I read them, and I move that they be adopted as printed.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next item that we need to deal with then is to put the bill properly before us. So if Representative Houseman would care to move the division report.
I move adoption of the Capital Investment Division Report for House File 886, the first committee in Grossman.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. And then if you'd like to put the bill, make the motion for recommending it to pass.
And I further move that House File 886, the first committee in Grossman, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion is before us, and you did mention when you were dealing with the overview at least one area where there would be an amendment, and would you like to take the two authors' amendments now, and then the bill will be in the form that you would like. First one that I have is A9.
I will move, Mr. Chair, A9. I think we just inadvertently left out some language for Springbrook Nature Center that the people working on that issue called to our attention. So page 7, line 13, after 2, insert pre-design design.
Yeah, and these members were all in your packets for these two amendments. So that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. And the next one I have is 504.
Mr. Chair, I would move 504, and I would just ask Representative Erdahl to come forward. This just came to our attention this morning, I will let Representative Erdahl explain it. If there are more technical amendments, Terry Kuhlman is also here to explain. Again, this issue just came to us, and so we are bringing it to you.
My notes indicate that this is a result of a court case that, and I'm sure that Mr. Erdahl is about, Representative Erdahl is about to explain it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, yes, this is a result of the Annandale Maple Lake court case regarding their Supreme Court case regarding their wastewater treatment plant that they are attempting to establish. The Supreme Court heard that case last August and has not yet rendered a decision. Because they have not rendered a decision, it affects at least two programs, the phosphorus reduction grants and the water pollution control revolving fund. Annandale, Maple Lake, and many other cities in Minnesota cannot access already approved grants and are losing standing for low-interest loans because the Supreme Court has not rendered that decision. This amendment is critical to many towns in Minnesota and would simply give them some more time until that decision is rendered.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. That puts the bill then in the form that the author would like. And for those of you that came in the past few minutes, we did start a little bit earlier with an overview of the bill, and Representative Hausman will continue with that overview.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. We are on line 38. There are federal dollars to be matched on line 38, the Cuyuna State Recreation Area, $125,000. There's an unusual circumstance on line 39, the Gateway Trail, a bike trail that goes a very long way, but where Highway 36 and Highway 120 come together, there is a huge amount of traffic, and right now there happens to be a construction project, and the heavy equipment is right in that area. And if we were to put a tunnel as part of that construction project, which would enable the bike path to more safely cross all that traffic, that would be a much less expensive project were we to do it in conjunction with the construction going on right now. Representative Cole brought us the loose line, and as I understand it, we had done that earlier. The bond's canceled, and so we are reauthorizing that project. And then we had something come to us very late, and Representative Dean added line 41, Browns Creek Nature Preserve. This is from Stillwater to the Gateway Trail. It's available because the Zephyr Rail Line is willing to sell its right-of-way. It came up very last minute, and again, the timeliness of this was such that we felt we wanted to include this. Last year, you may recall that Representative Dorman brought the remedial systems from Albert Lee. When PCA got into the project, they discovered, in fact, that the issue was much worse than they thought, and so they have requested additional money for that. There is a Lake Titlow watershed issue, Rim Reserve that is in the bill, along with some language, I think, added for asking for a report by October. Minnesota Zoo Inflow and Infiltration there would be a very large fee from the city of Eagan unless they demonstrate that they are able to resolve this issue, and we believe that's a practical thing for us to do now. There are two trunk highway fund issues in the bill. One is the Department of Transportation exterior. We've put that off for a few years. We have included that in this bill. And the other is the Mankato District Headquarters. Again, have come back many times, and we thought this is the year we should simply do that, both of those again with trunk highway funds. There is some property to be acquired on the Capitol grounds, two sites, I believe, that is in the governor's bill. I don't know if Representative Paulson had brought his picture was prominently in the video we viewed on the Veterans Memorial in Eden Prairie, a local community that has managed to raise $80,000, and we are partnering with them in the completion of that project. We also have two commercial television and NPR conversion projects in the bill. A Representative Tinglesad bill, Forensic Crime Lab in Anoka County is in this bill. And then if any of you are on my committee, you may have been there on the day when we told a story about transportation choices and how broad that system of transportation that we will build in this area will be. And you see in these next two sections the start of lines that will go from La Crescent to Duluth and from Bloomington to St. Cloud and Rice. Quantify the population that will be affected by all of those lines, I think it's probably 75% of the state that is potentially served. We have, by the way, the strange numbers for the ports. Since we had to balance the amount we had for cash and bonds, we just chose that line as the place where we balanced it. Basically, it's $1.5 million that we have for the ports. I should have mentioned, by the way, in your packets is the both the U of M and the Minsky list of all of the buildings to be done. So if you want to check if your campus is on that list, it is in your packet. We also have, if any members are interested, before this reaches the floor, a lot of information on the local bridges and what has been done in 2006 and 2007. And we know there are at least 30 more bridges in the pipeline ready to go. Federal money, of course, is matched in a number of these projects. That is true, for example, of the St. Paul National Great River Park. We didn't quite match all the federal money last year. Representative Lanning brought a chemical dependency treatment facility. This is just planning money. I'm not sure if he serves on this committee, but this is a very new idea, and that is only for the purpose of planning. We're doing some, I think, asset preservation at Oak Park Heights Prison, the Duluth Convention Center, Itasca County infrastructure for a plant being constructed there. You see Lewis and Clark several places. There is a water project that is on the boundary of several states. And we initially bonded for that, and because some of this construction would happen across the border, bonding did not work for them, and we've converted that bonding, canceled the bonding, and then converted it to cash. We have money in here to begin to help Rochester on their Mayo Civic Center project. They have a very exciting new idea there to, again, capitalize on the visitors they have to Mayo and to partner in that way with a convention center in Mayo. Years ago, I worked with the Wildlife Rehab Center, which then was on the St. Paul campus of the university. It was integral to the veterinary students who could go right next door and volunteer their time there, and it was a wonderful option for them. But that site was no longer available, and they had to move off campus. They continue to have veterinary students work there, and in fact, in the summer, they offer, I think, for credit, a course where the vet students actually receive credit. You have heard about this center a great deal in the news this year. That's the center that helped rescue all of those pelicans who, for whatever reason, didn't go south when it would have been good for them. And they were all captured. They were all brought to the center. They were all nursed back to health. And with the help of some airlines that volunteered, they were able to fly those birds back where they belonged. You may remember that last year we were motivated to work with Medtronic on expansion plans that where they needed some help. And this year, St. Jude is that company. Again, this is one of those international companies that could go anywhere, but we want them to stay here. They have expanded on the south side of 36. They would like to expand their campus on the north side, but they had a big obstacle between them that wasn't scheduled for any work, and if you've ever driven on that particular bridge, you may have experienced it yourself. And I know St. Jude has worked very hard. I don't know if they visited with any of you, but they have had very good conversations with the governor, and they're grateful for the partnership of the legislature. The Worthington Redevelopment Grants is language for Representative Hamilton. We have just a little more language I'll call to your attention. The biggest part of the bill is for Representative Murphy. I think 15 pages. It all relates to the Duluth aircraft maintenance facility, and it will facilitate their finding another tenant or other use for the building that, you may remember, was part of the Northwest Airlines bailout. And there's a little bit of comfort language for Representative Erdahl on Greenleaf State Park. There's a little bit of comfort language for Representative Clark on East Phillips. And Representative Carlson has language in this bill that the Minneapolis Planetarium is moving in another way, but there was a portion that had to do with bonding, and the suggestion was that this piece of that bill travel in the bonding bill. The governor has language relative to McHale Music Center. Representative Howes has, again, some helpful language relative to Agua Ching and gives the City of Walker and DHS a little more time. They were just on the cusp of not having enough time. And I think I mentioned the Representative Hamilton language on the Worthington Campbell Soup cleanup. That is a very quick overview, and we've added all of the amendments that I have. So if there are questions, we have staff here. We'd be happy
Representative
to.
Representative
Kamar. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hausman, I brought this up briefly to you, and I haven't had a response. I haven't had a chance to talk, and I'd like a response on Section 10, the $2.5 million to the for the forensic crime lab in Anoka County. I have some major concerns about this, and I'm just wondering what your committee, the process that you went through. We've discussed like regional training facilities. Every fire department, every police department wants their own regional training center. This is the same thing that's happening now with these forensic crime labs. So now Anoka County is going to want one. I know my own city wants to have one. Dakota County will be coming in pretty soon. We'll have. I'm just wondering what kind of precedent we're setting where every county is going to have their own forensic crime lab, and I'm not saying there isn't a need, but then why should, when we're putting together the public safety finance bill, why should we be appropriating money for the BCA to hire 20 more scientists when we're going to have all of these crime labs in every county and every major city in the metropolitan area? And I wonder what the process was that you went through.
We had as vigorous a debate as this, Representative Mr. Chair and Representative Kamar, and on our committee, I think Representative Murphy and Representative Mahoney and others had a conversation about this. I subsequently have had conversation also with Representative Singleton, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday. And she and I have talked about continuing this conversation in conference, because it is not only this, but we know that that there's some indication that the Senate has two or three others that they might include in their bill. There are requests, probably half a dozen requests around the state. And so Representative Singleton and I have talked about putting in language that suggests that in the interim, public safety and capital investment would perhaps have joint work on the issue of a state plan, that before we move ahead with regional centers, that we have a clear sense of what is the overall state plan. And Representative Singleton, I think, agreed that that ongoing conversation needs to take place.
Representative Kamar.
Well, I guess I'm not, maybe I didn't hear you correctly, but so we are going to bond for Anoka County to get this forensic laboratory. And I don't see any language in here regarding any studies or...
Representative Houseman.
I would, since Representative Singleton is here and happens also to be ranking minority member of our committee, I would just ask her if she would like to come forward.
Yeah, Representative Singleton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kamar, yes, as Chair Houseman said, we had a thorough discussion about this in capital investment, and the situation for this forensics lab is kind of unique at this point because it's a partnership among actually three counties, which would regionally serve kind of the north-central part of the state. They have a building in the plans at this point with a 3-to-1 match. And kind of the unique piece about this is that these three counties will jointly pay the operations of the forensics lab. And normally anything that goes to the lab in St. Paul, the state taxpayers pay those costs to process and operate. So these three counties are in a situation right now where they're not submitting their information because there's so much of a delay. And even if we get the 20 additional scientists at the BCA lab in St. Paul, they're still not able to keep up with the backlog with the amount of need there is right now to process these things through the North Metro area and the rest of the state.
On this point of question of representing of Senate.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And again, just to facilitate the discussion later on, too, I think, and again, I have no opinion on your project one way or the other, but I worry about rural counties. Again, you're saying that because you can take three basically metro counties and fund these things yourself and get faster results and turnaround, we have some deep rural counties that frankly don't have those resources, so we're still at the mercy, if you will, of turnaround times and work that's being done with BCA that's 200 miles away. And so again, you have to be very careful that we're not setting up some real inequities across the state too. And if there's a sense that BCA isn't getting the work done, again, you ought to be looking at personnel. If there's a sense that the equipment isn't there, we ought to be looking at expansion. But again, as Representative Mahoney brought up at the last meeting, we did just expand that. And at the time, a few years ago, that they expanded the BCA lab, they made the claim, I wasn't there, this is Representative Mahoney, that this would be good for 20 years. We wouldn't have to be revisiting this, and yet here we are a couple of years later. But I'm concerned about the inequities also as we progress. That should be part of that discussion also.
Representative Ingleston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dunkey, good point. And actually, by these three counties processing some of their own information, ideally that will open up some space and time at BCA so the rest of the state could get their things processed more quickly. Another note is that this forensic lab won't cover all the things that BCA takes in, so it's certainly not kind of a replacement situation. But, you know, these people in their area are willing to pay the operating costs locally that the state taxpayers would be paying to have forensics information processed from around greater Minnesota. I think it's a win-win situation at this point, certainly something that needs to be studied additionally, and the testimony in the committee was that there's a move towards regionalization around the state in all of this. And the analogy brought before us was that at one point everybody had typewriters, and then there were computers. And so the BCA lab, to some extent, has the computerized version of a typewriter. And so would the BCA lab, would St. Paul tell the rest of the state, you can't have computers, you got to continue to do your work on typewriters? No, they would say, join the next generation, use the most advanced data possible. That way they can alleviate some of the backlog of prison time that's happening because they're waiting for results from some of these labs. So it's definitely a step towards where we're going in the future.
I think just to clarify, Representative Houseman, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I thought your comment was that this provision is in the bill, but it's going to be talked about as it goes through the process in terms of how some of these labs would be coordinated so that there would be, in the end, some understanding of the direction mm-hmm. that the state would be going. Is that correct?
Equity and, yes, I think, and we, I think both of us have agreed to continue.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that it's going to be under discussion then from what I understood you to be saying. Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, I don't want to weigh in on this, and I'm sure that Representative Houseman was glad I wasn't at the meeting when this whole discussion was brought up. But, you know, I don't want a CSI Pike River. I'm happy to watch CSI Miami, and then I don't know, you know, what's happening here. Representative Tingle said your analogy about the typewriter and computers is interesting, because that's exactly what's happening with technology. You know, that typewriter still works and you can still use it, and it's still as efficient today as it was 40 years ago. But the computers are getting thrown out every 2 years, and they're very expensive. Very expensive. And this technology is very expensive. And that's right. When we funded that BCA lab, we were told that this was going to take care of everything for years and years and years, but I suppose now we'll have the DNR bringing fish and tails and heads and tails when I pass my little bill amendment to the game bill, that they'll be bringing that into the crime lab. So, you know, I don't know. I think we're getting, we don't have money for kids, we don't have money for people in nursing homes, but we always got money for new gadgets for making more people criminals. Oh, trained scientists. Okay.
Representative Mahoney.
Probably funding them in my bill.
If I can get a mic over here. I thought the analogy was pretty interesting, but I heard it a little different. I heard it from the BCA people saying that, you know, they had had space for expansion, and with technology today, they don't have to send their technicians out to wherever, and they envisioned having even more space than and a quicker service. But if the chair and the ranking minority want to talk about this, that's certainly fine with me. I'm not sure where it's going to end up, but I think the sense of the committee here is, should probably give both members a little idea of where the committee would take, would look to see this end up.
Okay, I'd leap ahead a little bit on my list, because I assumed the people that were asking questions were on this particular point. Representative Westrum, were you on this point as well?
Mr. Chair, I can divide my questions, and this discussion has prompted a question on this topic, so that's the first one I'll start with, and I can hold on the others until we finish this. But to Representative Rukavina, we now have to be cognizant of the grandma who's selling the flag at a garage sale that wasn't made in the United States is another criminal, so we do need
I've left the room, Representative.
But in seriousness, Representative Houseman, I think Representative Tingle said, I think the issue is legitimately raised. Representative Junkie talked about it, Representative Rukavina, and Representative Paymar. But also in here is $150,000 for a planning of a regional drug jail concept. And originally that bill was to have some upfront dollars to help the counties build a facility, which got changed into just planning money because the words that came back through my constituents and their lobbyists and others that are working on these issues was that the state wasn't going to get into funding local or regional jails, and here we're getting into funding local or regional crime labs that are just as important in Morris or Elba Lake as they would be in Anoka. And so I'm interested to see how this plays out, because if this is the way we're going to go, maybe there is an appetite for the state to start helping or funding local jails and regional jails. Certainly, I understand Senator Scoy is not interested in that, so we'll see how this plays out. But, I mean, as we go about it, it seems like if we're going to expand the BCA and they're going to be the crime lab, or are we going to go down the road of having sections of counties take this over? That's just an opening, a box that we may be opening, and Representative Hausman, I'd be interested in your response on that.
And Mr. Chair, what I'm and we are listening carefully, and what I would suggest is that perhaps we fast track this. We had talked about maybe an interim discussion, but maybe a discussion literally that takes place over the next 2 weeks about relevant players to talk about this the broader state plan and where we ought to go forward this year, but to get all the players at the table who ought to be part of it. That would be Representative Paymar and others. So I think both Representative Tingelstad and I would have an interest in doing that and fast-track that and maybe do it in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, and Weston,
Chair, do you want me to ask the other question? I could get us steered onto a different topic, and I'm just interested in the Pelicans, Representative Hausman. Explain to me what it sounded like as we're bonding to fly Pelicans south because they're too lazy to do it now themselves, or else they weren't born with that mindset. Explain that a little bit more.
Representative,
it doesn't seem like that would be what we're doing.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I perhaps talked about Pelicans, and I didn't talk about the Wildlife Rehab Center. The Wildlife Rehab Center of Minnesota, again, I'm not certain you were in the room, but this is a center that used to exist on the St. Paul campus of the University of Minnesota and had a very close relationship with the veterinary students. It was literally where they just went right next door for very unusual experiences that they probably wouldn't have had in any other setting. At a certain point, that they tried to stay on campus, and that building, they were in a building that's rat infested, I think would be maybe fair to say. And we tried with a number of people at the time to keep them on campus. They subsequently found a place in Roseville, and I would invite Representative Breiling to chime in on this if she wants. She's the author of that bill. And so what we're looking to do is they, through private donations, raise all their operating. And we would, what they're asking us is, can we help them with the cost of the building? That would not be bondable. We have that as general fund. They continue to be a partner with the University of Minnesota. Veterinary students are there every day, and in the summer, they actually offer credit for some of that experience.
Well, it does. I might question whether it's a proper place to be spending dollars, but thanks for the answer, Representative Hausman.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hausman. My question is in relation to Section 5, Subdivision 8B. on page 8, the flood hazard mitigation projects in Browns Valley. You talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but I know that the governor had sent a letter out, and he had some discussions in there about direct grants and land buyouts and things like that. This isn't part of that, is it? That's a separate... could you just explain exactly what this language means so I can feel comfortable?
He had his letter, I represent Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin. His letter had 4 points. The last point was relevant to our bill, and it was flood hazard mitigation. And he, we had already written the bill by then and had... but we got the letter on Monday, but coincidentally had done just what he had asked, which is we wrote in Browns Valley, so they also would qualify for this money.
So could, Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, so could you explain exactly what that money would be used for? It looks like it's $2 million, or I don't have it in front of me here, but could you explain to me what exactly, is it just for the, could you explain the project to me, I guess?
I don't think we know, Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin, what the project would be yet for Browns Valley. I think it would be far too early. But I think the governor is anticipating that the state might be able to be a partner, and I think he was just asking us to see if we might include some dollars. But I think it's probably way too early to know what the project there might be.
Okay, Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, and the reason I bring it up is because there was also a major tornado in Rogers, and I had some concerns with the governor's letter and about some of the precedent he'd be setting, and it would treat the folks in the Browns Valley much differently than it would affect the folks in Rogers, and I guess wanted to let you know of my concern, and I will be speaking with the governor about that, because I think we need to, if we're gonna address natural disasters, I think it has to be fair in all locations of the state. I did have a project that I'd asked Representative Leader for a hearing, and that dealt with some infrastructure for the Rogers tornado, but I probably will be back in touch with you to speak more specifically on this, depending on my conversation with the governor.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You, Representative Swiggum.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Representative Hausman, Mr. Chairman, if I could, a series of three questions. The first, though, is a little less serious than the other three. The first is, just to let you know that this afternoon I passed off the responsibility of Winona State Memorial Hall to Chairman Rukavina to make sure that he follows through on my commitment that if Representative Pawlowski's basketball team, which is playing right now, I think, if they win the Division II basketball tournament, I had committed to them that we do Memorial Hall for them this next year. Now, they're two games away from that. A wonderful team, beat the Gophers. They're a wonderful team, and Representative Rukavina better prepare himself.
Squig them, huh?
More serious questions, though, Mr. Chairman.
It's pretty serious, Representative Squig them, especially when you've got a good team like Winona's.
In my life, it's pretty serious, but I'm not sure in everybody's life.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, three more serious questions if I could. First of all, looking as the bill is arranged here, can you give us the public reason and the public strategy, which is pretty obvious to everybody in this, you put this bill together, that as I'm reading through the spreadsheet here, every recommendation of the governor comes from the general fund. And not from the bonding, GO bonding that he had recommended. Can you give me the strategy, the reason, the public reason why that is, and what that might mean, meaning spending special dollars that could be available in the general fund for transportation or for property tax relief? Why are you doing that to the governor's projects?
First of all, there are probably two questions there. One would be why cash in addition to bonding? And if you look historically at what we've done, we have almost every year had some combination of cash and bonding. This year, we do know that, at least in part, some of that might, that money might be described as one-time money, and I have argued, as had a few others, that when you can deal with infrastructure issues, with one-time money that are then off the table in the future, that perhaps that is a good use of that. I did actually visit with the governor about that, and he said they had looked at that too and had tried it. They just had a little trouble finding one-time money, enough one-time money to do that. I was actually going to, because this general fund GO was raised, I was actually, Mr. Chair, going to offer an amendment to change those, but I just couldn't bring myself to spend more time on having staff redraft words, because language has to go with this. I think we started with the DEC. The Senate for some time now has wished to do the DEC with cash, because they believed, and we don't necessarily agree with that, that cash is more quickly accessible, that project can get more quickly up and going. We've actually checked with finance, and they tell us that that's not the case, that really bonding and cash are equally accessible. And but we thought if the Senate was still inclined to do that, we would do so. I will say, members, that actually cash is better than bonding. Cash has no rules and much easier to use. Bonding is so complicated, accessing bonding dollars. In fact, the governor keeps control of bonding dollars because it is his department that actually has to work with the project that is seeking. And some of those rules are so complicated, our committee spent two meetings in presentations with Mr. Stoussen to understand that. So I think we would suggest in the case of the DEC that one, but I think on the other that actually we think cash is a pretty friendly way to fund a project.
Representative Swigum, you said you had three questions.
Well, I'm not sure I got the total answer to the first one. So you're telling me, if I can read between the lines, that you're giving special accommodation and special friendliness to the governor by making every one of his recommendations spending money that could be going to property tax relief or transportation, as opposed to doing GO bonding.
And so your question, Mr. Chair,
why is every governor's project general funds funding rather than GO?
I think I probably just started down the list. If you look, we looked at, you know, once you have to balance two kind of equal amounts, I didn't really want to do that with, I started at the top and kept all of the university intact, all of MNSCU, and you run out of big projects that you can do that with. So it's really a matter of how do you balance those two pots of money.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, I'm not sure big projects or small projects. It just seems like every governor's project is GF, and it reads that way. There was a reason. There was a strategy. There was an understanding among somebody to do that. Now, whether you're willing to share it with us or not, that's fine. But there was a reason. I will move on. I don't need to push that any further. The second question is, line 39, which is a gateway trail.
Yes.
And you do have two trails in there that I see are funded. But you said something to the effect that there's two roads, there's construction project going on, big equipment there right now. Does that basically determine then that the bid for this path, for this underground path to the Gateway Trail, is going to go to the construction company that's there? Are you determining who the bid is going to go to up front?
Well, I am, Mr. Chair, and Representative Stigum, I am personally not, but I think we had a county engineer who was testifying to that issue.
But it sure seems like with your presentation, you're dictating who's going to get a state bid of some $600,000 by determining who happens to be there now with what big construction equipment. You seem to be dictating who's going to get a bid.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's going to be in the hands of the local government.
Yeah. Or it could have been a reason to do this trail in specific.
We're going through the chair, I assume.
I sure will, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, the only other question that would happen to do with Department of Transportation and Met Council funding. Lots of transit. A couple weeks ago, I happened to, by chance, happen into a meeting over at the League of Cities over here. It was this meeting, members, that I was invited to by, I believe it was Senator Coleman, and I forget who the other person was. Well, it turned out it was Mayor Coleman, not Senator Coleman. So when I walked in, I happened to be in a very significant group of transit advocates and Democratic members. I felt a little out of place, and I looked around to Speaker Vanosik, and I said, Speaker Vanosik, am I the only Republican here? And he looked around, and he said, yeah, I think so. I just happened to be there because it was supposed to be the mistake of Senator Coleman and Mayor Coleman. And I stayed for an hour and a half and was somewhat concerned over all the transit discussions I heard and the dollars coming forward and the costs that are going to be there, the big visions. And I noticed in the bill here that, you know, in the past we've tried to balance in a balanced way, that we have to have balance, transit's part of the balance, transit and roads and bridges. Mm-hmm. But you haven't done a very good job of balancing transit and roads and bridges in this bill, at least the way it looks to me. Would you respond to that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Stigham, of course, the balance can only be accomplished between several bills because roads are gas tax and license tabs, which are constitutionally dedicated. They are, in fact, allocated in a different bill. So we have traditionally not bonded in the bonding bill for example, Highway 62 or, you know, the Crosstown Highway or 35 or wherever, that because in this state we have constitutionally dedicated the gas tax and the license tabs, they are dealt with in the transportation bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, I beg to differ with that. I think that if I remember correctly, in past years we have balanced very well between transit needs and road and bridge needs in the bonding bill itself. Last year, for instance, I think there was $52 million of bridge bonding in there and another 10 for local roads to help local communities with their local matches and local shares. And I think we tried to balance that with what the transit dollars were in there. So I beg to differ with your statement or your perception that we have not balanced within the bonding bill itself.
And Mr. Chair, and Representative Stigham, this year we didn't have, we had local bridges brought forward, but we didn't have the others. Somebody just came to me today about local roads of regional significance, and unfortunately, of course, we're sort of in the last stages of this. Next year, through the normal process when departments come to us, then I'm assuming we will be at those high levels for local roads and local bridges and maybe even local roads of regional significance.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to see the balance this year. I'd like to see it there.
I'll just make sure
that I don't go to the wrong meetings from now on because I left very nervous.
I will tell you, in terms of regional balance, we did figure out what it is, and in this bill, in the seven county metro area, approximately $115,115 are designated, and to outside the seven county metro area, it is roughly $144 million. So, if that interests anyone, because that regional balance, I will tell you, is very important to me.
Mr. Chairman, it doesn't speak to my concern, but that's fine. That's just a different answer to a different question.
And I hope you found that the Democrats were a friendly group.
Good hospitality.
They offered to feed me, but I didn't eat.
Oh, my goodness. Representative Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hausman, I guess the first question is, when Representative Swigum asked about the cash versus bonding, it didn't sound like there was a strategy. You took a list and you kind of went down. So you would be amenable if we switched the general fund to the bonds and the bonds to the general fund if we had an amendment? You'd be okay with that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, I was actually going to come with one today, and we didn't get I thought I was going to have this engrossment last night. We didn't get it until 11, and I know how busy the two staff members are, and because you don't have, you can't just fix the spreadsheet, you also have to change the language in the bill. So I may even visit with Ms. Dyson after this meeting to see if we can suggest some.
Well, maybe for ways and means or something. Thank you for that. The other one is I was just adding up some numbers here. If you you were taking Heber out of the mix because it's spread all over the state, I was adding the number of what Republican projects, and I know hopefully we've learned something about the earmarking process from the election last year, but it would look to me like there's about $4.835 million in Republican projects, and there's $58.63 million for freshman Democrats. And I know there's not very many Republicans in the legislature. I think there's a few more than freshman Democrats. And 4.835 versus 58.63 didn't seem to me to be a real, as long as you're using the word, balanced amount in terms of the political geography. And maybe that's just the way it is. I understand 81 to pass a bonding bill, 60%, and you know, your caucus can pass the bonding bill, and you gave some language to some of our members, which doesn't cost anything, but it's good graces from those folks, and that's appreciated. But there's another number as you go from 68 to 81 to 90. And in looking at this bill, my understanding is the governor was not big on putting cash into the bonding bill. In fact, he specifically said, I do not want large amounts of cash in the bonding bill, and it looks like this bill is going to do that anyway. And I think it would be incumbent upon all of us to work with him, because I think this whole bill is in danger of going down due to the large nature. And when people say, well, we don't have money for transportation, you raise the gas tax for every penny, it's about $31 million. You've got quite a bit of transportation projects we could be doing that maybe don't need to be going to earmark projects. And that includes bridges, which are bondable by everyone's standards. It includes dangerous intersections, which are bondable by everyone's standards. And you could take that cash and you could cash out some projects. Now, I understand that gas tax is ongoing and this is one time, but if we are to come together on some transportation ideas, I think that by taking this money and spending it all, we are losing the opportunity to come together on money that might be available for transportation. And if it gets flittered away or squirreled away on these various things, I just don't see us going down that path. I don't see our caucus going down that path, and I don't see the governor going down that path. The electorate, in looking at a bill like this, I think would really have pause in saying there's too much cash here. There's probably too much earmarking. Both parties have done it, federal and state level. I understand that. Everybody in the room probably. But the nature of the bill right now is that it looks like you're not taking the governor's advice under consideration, and also the people of Browns Valley, and I do know the mayor up there, I think would like to have their own bill moving through to not get caught up in this whole mess of what projects are worthy and which ones aren't and so on and so forth. They tried that on the federal level up in the Red River Valley when Newt Gingrich was speaker, and we had flooding in western Minnesota, and they tried to stick in something to do with redistricting and how they counted people and put that in the disaster relief bill, and Bill Clinton vetoed the whole bill. And the people in the Red River Valley weren't angry at Bill Clinton. They were angry at the Congress, at the legislators, those in the legislative branch that felt cavalier and felt, we're just going to do it anyway. And in listening to you, I think in good faith you said, let's put a placeholder in and try to work with that. But I would really think that it would be better to let the disaster relief money travel on its own. It's just friendly advice. And let those folks come forward, testify in the committee, give us their needs and their wants, and let the committee figure it out, and not get it mixed up in this process. I think they deserve better than that, to be sitting night after night after night listening between you and Senator Langseth and the committee members. And if it's anything like where I watched the bonding process the last couple of years, they deserve a lot better than having to come in every single night listening to conference committee. They really deserve their own bill, and I hope Representative Marquardt can work with us. Our caucus is committed to trying to help people that need help and not getting mixed into the muck of all these details. But I guess I'd just like your reaction on the large amount of cash, the reaction to the governor, and also imbalance politically in the bill. And if you could just give me your thoughts on that, Representative Hausman. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert. I believe we absolutely responded and heard to absolutely everybody. I cannot think of an exception. In the last week, because we were close to closing our bill, we had a few additional bills come in. I think Representative Westrom's was one. I think Representative Anderson was one. I spoke to, and we heard all of those we had. Several of them, specifically I can tell you Representative Gunther has several. He said he wanted to wait till next year, but truly I have to say I think we absolutely responded to all requests.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, on the, in the imbalance politically that freshman Democrats have over $58 million while Republicans have $4.8, is that a coincidence, or did the committees end up recommending that? And I wasn't sure all your process, I don't sit on the budget divisions, but did you do it like we used to where the committees made recommendations and could blackball projects, or did you just kind of mark it up with... Because it's a small bonding year, you didn't ask the divisions to report out, recommend, neutral, and blackball like we used to.
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, next year we have established in the rules a process where committees, as usual, receive from departments all of their recommendations and work them through, and then they will introduce in bill form, not necessarily in bill, but in bill form, so that there's transparency for the public recommendations to us. It was a different year. All of the committees were working on budgets, and we knew it would be a very small bill. And I think in virtually every case, we had a conversation with the relevant chairs.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, we didn't have Representative Hausman the process of each, because I was kind of surprised when the chair of the Public Safety Committee, like, expressed surprise there was something under his jurisdiction that was in the bill. We didn't have that process this year because of the small nature of the bill.
That's right.
Okay.
Any further, Representative Lucavina? You're on the list. Did you... We're not trying to solicit comments, so somehow you got on the list. Okay, you must have.
Mr. Chair, I'm on a number of lists around here.
Okay. Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, I'd just like to ask you to keep two things in there. One's the Mankato MnDOT building. Fight for that. I don't know if they've got it funded out over there. And the other one is the wildlife rehab. I've taken numbers of animals up there, and some things are hard to put a value on, but the people that send you the animals and you take them up there and you hear that they got fixed, unbelievable things that they do there with volunteers and help. It's not a lot of money, and hopefully keep that in there.
I will do that.
Okay, any further discussion? Well, hearing none, the motion before us is that... House File 866, the first committee engrossment be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative Sertich.
Mr. Chair, because this is a bonding bill, and I know there's a supermajority needed on the floor, is there any rules in committee? Can you just refresh me on that?
No, it, it takes a simple majority in committee. The reason I kind of went a little bit slow, at least one of the minority members had requested that he be notified when we got to a vote, and I think that they're out to get him.
Mr. Chair, I don't think there's any need for a roll call unless the majority wants one. I don't think we have to roust everybody up. I have no intent of asking for roll call, and I don't think anyone on my side do.
Yeah, that's not the direction. There isn't a roll call request.
Yeah, I don't think
so.
There's a lot of members voting upstairs, and
I was about to go to a vote for that very reason. So, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. One quick announcement. We do have a meeting next Monday, and that's going to begin at 9 a.m. because we have quite a lengthy list of bills before us. So with that, just mark that on your calendar, and we'll follow it up with an email. Meeting adjourned.